If you turn in your Bibles to the book of Jonah, we're going to begin with Jonah chapter 1 this morning. And then next week you'll have your special service for Matt and Beth and the family. And I want to take my opportunity to tell them that I'll be praying that God will just give them a great time out west, and that the Lord would really bless them and use them. And I've known them. I can't say that I've known them extremely well, but I've known them for several years, ever since the church took us on for mission support. And they've been a blessing, and their spirit has been a real blessing to me. So thank you. And for wherever Matt is, thank you. Thank you, Matt. And I pray that next week will be just a very, very special week for the family and for the church. If you were to ask the typical American what they knew about the Old Testament prophets, I don't think we would get much from them. In fact, if we'd ask the typical churchgoer in the United States of America, or the typical churchgoer in the world, what they knew about the Old Testament prophets, I think at best we would hear two things from them. We would hear Daniel in the lion's den and Jonah. Those would probably be the two most common biographical pictures that we have, that people in general understand. And the book of Jonah would be one of those two. And people are just always amazed at the stories of Daniel in the lion's den and the story of Jonah. They would say the whale. The Bible says a great fish. But Jonah and the whale. And when I would think back when my children were very young, and every night we had a whole collection. I still have them. Whole collection of Bible story books that we had, but I would have to say that the two favorite for our kids, and probably for me too, would be Daniel in the lion's den and Jonah, and you could throw in the three Hebrew friends and the fiery furnace would be a third probably. But Jonah, here in chapter 1, let's take a look and see what God has for us today. Father, we thank you so much for your blessings, so much for your goodness. And I pray, Father, that as we open your word this morning, you'll give us guidance and direction, give us wisdom, and help us to really identify with your message, with your word. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Jonah chapter 1. Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, "Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry out against it, for their wickedness has come up before me." But Jonah arose to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. He went down to Joppa and found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare and went down into it to go with them to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. Now, we're not told a great deal about Jonah. He's mentioned also in 2 Kings 14:25. We're given a little bit of information there that Jonah lived in the area around Nazareth and not far from the Sea of Galilee. And then he's also spoken of in Matthew 12 by the Lord Jesus Christ, and we'll refer to that at the end of the message. So we're not giving a lot of information about Jonah other than the fact that the word of the Lord came to him. He was a prophet of God. His book is one of the minor prophets. We have the major prophets. The minor prophets are not minor because they're unimportant. They're minor in that they're shorter books. They're not long like Isaiah and Ezekiel. Jonah is only a book of four short chapters. Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, Jonah, get up, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry out against it. Twice in this passage of Scripture, in chapter 1, Joseph is told to get up. Jonah is told to get up. He's told to arise. So I kind of almost envision Jonah being a teenage boy, and we're trying to get him up in the morning. But arise, Jonah, get up and go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry out against it. God is giving him a commission. God is calling him to do something. He's saying, Jonah, get up, go to Nineveh, and cry out against it. Why? For their wickedness has come up before me. Their wickedness has come up before me. The sin of the city is so terrible. It's so awesome. It's so ridiculous that God is sending someone to cry out against it. Makes me think of Genesis chapter 6 when the Lord saw the wickedness of man upon the earth in the days of Noah and decided to destroy the whole world. And or Genesis chapter 11 when the Lord saw those who started a new world after the flood, and they started to build the Tower of Babel, and God saw what they were doing and decided to come down and confuse them. Or in Genesis 18 and 19, when the Lord heard the wickedness of the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah and made the decision to destroy them. The Lord says, Jonah, I want you to get up. I want you to go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry out against it. Why? Because their wickedness has come up before me. Verse 3, the little word, but. The little word, but, means a change of direction here. The scripture doesn't say Jonah got on his horse and took off for Nineveh. No, no, no. The scripture says, but Jonah arose to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. He went down to Joppa and found a ship going to Tarshish, so he paid the fare and went down into it to go with them to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. But Jonah didn't like God's call. Jonah didn't like God's plan, and Jonah took off in the opposite direction. If he was at home close to Nazareth, Nineveh was to the northeast of him. Well, he goes first of all to Joppa, which is about 50 miles away on the coastline, so he can get a ship, and he takes off to Tarshish, and we believe that Tarshish is somewhere on the Spanish peninsula. He's going as far away from Nineveh as he can possibly go. He is going as far away from the presence of the Lord as he can possibly go. He went down the Joppa, found a ship going to Tarshish, paid the fare, went down into it to go with them to Tarshish, from the presence of the Lord. So twice here in verse 3, we are told that he is fleeing from the presence of the Lord. Jonah, don't you know that you can't do that? Jonah, don't you know that you cannot flee from the presence of the Lord? It's mentioned a third time in chapter 1 that Jonah was fleeing from the presence of the Lord. Now, really think about that. You know, we have a God who's everywhere. We have a God who goes before us, and He's behind us, He's beside us, He's above us, and He's below us. You cannot flee from the presence of the Lord, but yet Jonah was going to try to do it. But if we will admit it, you and I also try to flee from the presence of the Lord. If we would be honest, we feel that God's plan isn't as good as our plan. God's call isn't as good as our call. And if we would be totally honest, we are like Jonah, and we often live as if God doesn't exist. We often live as if God hasn't given us any direction. We often live as if we're trying to flee from the presence of the Lord. But Jonah arose to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. He went down. You'll notice the use of the word down here. On several occasions, he went down to Joppa. He found a ship to Tarshish. He paid the fare, and he went down into it. We're told later on that he went down into the lowest part of the ship, verse 5. But Jonah has gone down into the lowest part of the ship, and he laid down at the same time. And then if we who know the rest of the story know that he's going to be thrown into the sea, the man's going down, down, down. I think it's important to remember that we shouldn't be too hard on Jonah. There's a lot of other prophets, the five major prophets and the 12 minor prophets. There was a lot of the other prophets that were told to write or to speak out against the pagan nations of the world. But Jonah is the only one who's called to go to them. The rest of the prophets were told, write this down. Write this down. Write this curse down. Write this warning down. Write this woe down. But Jonah gets more than a writing assignment. He gets a call to get up and to go to Nineveh, that great city, because of the wickedness is crying out to God. Well, verse 3 began with a but Jonah. Well, verse 4 starts with a, but the Lord. But the Lord. But the Lord set out a great wind on the sea, and there was a mighty tempest on the sea, so that the ship was about to be broken up. The ship was about to be broken up. Before we move on here, let me backtrack just a little bit. Let me just talk to you about why Jonah didn't want to go to Nineveh. Why didn't he want to go? Well, some of the obvious reasons were that they wouldn't listen, even if I went. This is a place full of pagan idolatry. These are evil people, and they won't listen to me. And secondly, he I'll be thinking, they'll probably kill me. That's what they do with people like me. If I went and started crying out against the city of Nineveh, they'll probably kill me. Those are two obvious possibilities, but the thought was that Jonah was afraid to go to Nineveh, but I don't really believe that's the case. When we get to Jonah 4:2, when we get to Jonah chapter 4, verse 2, Jonah says, this is where God decides that he's not going to destroy the city because they repent. And Jonah says, I knew you'd do it, Lord. I knew you were a gracious God. I knew you were full of mercy. That's why I didn't want to come here in the first place. Because I knew you would respond to their repentance. And I didn't want them to repent. I wanted you to destroy them. When it comes right down to it, Jonah is fleeing from God because he does not have the heart of God. He does not have the heart of God. What's the heart of God like? We're told here that the heart of God is just distraught over the wickedness of this city. God wants to do something about the wickedness of the city. He wants someone to cry out against the wickedness of the city. He wants wickedness confronted. But the only reason he's sending Jonah is not because he's going to destroy them, but because he's holding out hope for repentance. God has a heart full of mercy. God has a heart full of grace. And Jonah doesn't. Jonah doesn't. This is the enemy of his people. Nineveh is the capital of the Assyrian Empire. And they have done some many, many terrible things against the nation of Israel. Jonah's not looking to take them the message of deliverance, the message of repentance. Jonah would be fine if God just judged them. Jonah does not have the heart of God. And that's why he's fleeing. That's why he's running. The Lord comes to Jonah. Jonah, get up and go to Nineveh. Cry out against it because I hear the wickedness. Their wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah runs from the presence of the Lord because he does not have the heart of God. Do we have the heart of God? Verse 4, but the Lord sent out a great wind on the sea, and there was a mighty tempest on the sea, so that the ship was about to be broken up. Well, God could have left Jonah just go, couldn't he? God could have said, Jonah, if you don't like my call, and if you don't like my plan, if you don't have my heart, well, then just get out of here. But it's not what God does. God goes after him. Woo! God goes after him. God's on his trail. God's not going to let him get off this easy. Does God go after us? But the Lord sent out a great wind on the sea, and there was a mighty tempest on the sea, so that the ship was about to be broken up. I believe we're seeing an angry God here. Let me give you a piece of advice about the anger of God. Don't ever apologize for the anger of God. Don't ever apologize. I'm afraid we have the mindset that sometimes we read in Scripture that we have the wrath of God coming upon an unbelieving people or an ungodly people. And we have a tendency to go like, well, you know, sometimes I don't understand what God is doing. And sometimes God seems to be, kind of rough and kind of tough and kind of difficult and kind of angry, but he's really just a loving, loving, loving God. Don't ever apologize for the anger of God. This world needs to see the anger of God, and this world is going to see the anger of God. On Wednesdays, at one of the Bible studies I do on Wednesdays, we're going through the book of Revelation, and if you want to see the anger of God, just read that. Just read that. But the Lord sent out a great wind on the sea, and there was a mighty tempest on the sea, so that the ship was about to be broken up. And these mariners, these sailors, they were obviously afraid. This was a storm that they hadn't seen, a storm like this before. And every man cried to his God. These sailors were probably from all over. These sailors were probably representative maybe of the people of Nineveh for all we know. And here's Jonah with them in a storm on the sea. The ship was about to be broken up. The mariners were afraid. Every man cried out to his God. And maybe they all had their own God. And every man cried out to his own God. They threw the cargo of the ship into the sea and to lighten the load. But Jonah, or we have that little but again. We have, but Jonah fled, but the Lord went after him. But Jonah, he's down in the lowest part of the ship in verse 5, and he's laid down and he was fast asleep. Man, can you believe this guy? He's probably exhausted from his trip and probably the storm. Maybe, I don't know, I can't imagine the storm rocking someone to sleep, but maybe that did it for him. And, you know, my little limited experience of being in storms on the sea, I'm the guy who's puking his guts out. But Jonah's gone down into the lowest part of the sea, ship, and he lay down and he was fast asleep. I mean, he was hard asleep. He was completely out of it. Verse 6, so the captain came to him and he said to him, what do you mean, sleeper? Back to that teenage mindset again here. What do you mean, sleeper? Arise, get up, call on your God. Perhaps your God will consider us so that we may not perish. Hey, you. Maybe he didn't even know his name. He says, you, come on, get up. What are you doing sleeping? Call on your God. We're all calling on our gods. Maybe your God can help. So call on your God so that we may not perish. Verse 7, and they said to one another, come, let us cast lots that we may know for whose cause this trouble has come upon us. So they cast lots. And the lot fell on, guess who? Jonah. Do you think this is just an accident, folks? Do you think it's just per chance that the lot fell on Jonah? Now, I don't know how they cast lots. You know, maybe they had their own forms of gambling games and they had a way of casting lots. Maybe it was as simple as drawing the short straw. But God was in the casting of the lots. And Jonah got the short straw. So they cast lots, and the lot fell on Jonah. Then they said to him, please tell us. They start asking him all these questions. Tell us, for whose cause is this trouble upon us? What's your occupation? You know, that's what men do. You know, first thing we ask each other is, what do you do for a living? You know, women, maybe they talk about family, maybe they talk about children, you know, but men, hey, what do you do for a living? What's your occupation? And where do you come from? What's your country? And of what people are you? They start asking him all of these questions. In verse 9, he said to them, I'm a Hebrew, and I fear the Lord. I fear Yahweh, the God of heaven who made the sea and the dry land. Jonah says, I'm a prophet of my God. I fear him. I'm a Hebrew. They have probably heard about this God in their travels. They had probably heard about what he did to the Egyptians. They had probably heard about the Red Sea. They had probably heard about the Jordan River. They had probably heard about how they conquered the Canaanites. They had heard all about the God of the Hebrews. And he says, I'm one of those Hebrews. I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the what? Who made the sea and the dry land. And these sailors are probably going nuts. Great. This guy has offended his God, and his God is the God that made the sea. And guess where we are? Verse 10, then the men were exceedingly afraid. Exceedingly afraid. They say, why have you done this? For the men knew that he fled from the presence of the Lord. There's the third time we had that expression. Because he had told them. Then they said to him, what shall we do to you that the sea may be calm for us? For the sea was growing more tempestuous. What shall we do to you to solve this problem? Well, the right question was, what should they do to him? The right question is, what was Jonah going to do? This is a time that Jonah could have repented. A time there where Jonah could have said, okay, listen, Lord, I was wrong. Lord, I ran from you. I thought I could get away from your presence. Lord, I was wrong not to obey your call. Lord, I'm ready to rise up and to go and to cry out against Nineveh. But he doesn't do that. Jonah doesn't do that. He would rather be thrown into the storm, thrown into the sea, than to put himself in the hands of the living God. Verse 11, then they said to him, what shall we do to you that the sea may be calm for us? For the sea was growing more tempestuous. And he said to them, pick me up and throw me into the sea, and the sea will become calm for you, for I know that this great tempest is because of me. These were noble men. They didn't want to do this. Verse 13 says, nevertheless, the men rowed hard to return to land. They got their oars out, and they were trying to, in the midst of this storm, they were trying to dig deep and row hard. But they could not, the scripture says, for the sea continued to grow more tempestuous against them. Therefore they cried out to the Lord, to Yahweh, and they said, we pray, O Lord, please do not let us perish for this man's life, and do not charge us with innocent blood, for you, O Lord, have done as it pleased you. So they picked up Jonah and threw him into the sea, and the sea ceased from its raging. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly and offered a sacrifice to the Lord and took vows. Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and 3 nights. The Lord came to Jonah and he said, Jonah, I want you to get up, go to Nineveh, cry out against us, because of the wickedness of the city. But Jonah ran from the presence of the Lord because he did not have the heart of the Lord. The Lord went after him. The Lord brought a great wind and the sea and the mighty tempest. The Lord gave him an opportunity to repent, and he chose not to. And finally, the sailors threw him into the sea, and the sea was calm. And the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of that fish for 3 days and 3 nights. I want to just give you two thoughts to take with you. For Orthodox Hebrews, even today, on the Day of Atonement, part of their service is to read the book of Jonah. Part of their service is to read the book of Jonah. And at the end of the reading, the people respond by saying, "We are Jonah." So the first thought that I have for you this morning is simply this. Are you running from the presence of God? Are you running from the presence of God? When God speaks, do you obey? When God speaks, do you follow His call? Or are you running from the presence of the Lord? My suggestion for you, if you're running from God, is that you pray this simple prayer. Lord, give me grace so I will run no more. Lord, give me grace so I will run no more. The second thought that I want to leave with you this morning, turn with me to Matthew chapter 12. Matthew chapter 12, verse 38 to 41. The scribes and the Pharisees are having a conversation with Jesus. Matthew 12, 38. Then some of the scribes and Pharisees answered, saying, "Teacher, we want to see a sign from you." Jesus, do a trick. Jesus, perform a miracle. Do something miraculous. And Jesus hated the thought of performing a miracle to prove himself to doubters and those who were just trying to give him a difficult time. He despised that mindset. They said, "Teacher, we want to see a sign from you. Perform a miracle. Do something amazing." And he said to them, "An evil and adulterous generation seeks after a sign, and no sign will be given to it except the sign of the prophet Jonah. For as Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the belly of the great fish, so will the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. The men of Nineveh will rise up in the judgment of this generation and condemn it because they repented at the preaching of Jonah. And indeed, a greater than Jonah is here." with that second thought. The first thought I wanted you to remember is that we are Jonah. And if we're honest with ourselves, we often run from God. We're often running from the presence of the Lord. And the second thought I want you to have is that this scripture in Matthew points to a second Jonah. A second Jonah. This man was sent from a far country, a far place, into this world, to a people that rejected him and reviled him and killed him. And he knew that this was going to happen. But he came anyways. The second Jonah is our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I'm so thankful he didn't flee from the presence of his Father. I'm so thankful that when his Father sent him, he willingly came. And he willingly laid down his life for you and me. I'm so thankful that Jesus didn't run from the presence of the Lord. Are you running from the presence of the Lord?